Hello, this is Saul Gonzalez, lead pastor of Lifehouse Church, and welcome to our podcast. Thank you so very much for joining us today. I believe that through this message, God will encourage you, challenge you, and better yet, change you for the glory of God and for the purposes God has called you. Enjoy this message.
God bless you guys. You can take your seats this morning. It's great for me to be back to my house, to my house. This is my house. And God is doing amazing things throughout our campuses. I'm so grateful to Pastor Saul for this opportunity. If you didn't know, Pastor Saul is in a ministry assignment. I'm not exactly sure where. Manteca or Lathrop or somewhere. He's always going throughout the world. We have such a privilege to have a great man of God. Pastor Saul is our pastor, and so we're glad to have this opportunity. So I want to share with you this message that God has for us this morning. Last week, we had the continuation of this message called Change Your World. I love that the title of the message is Change Your World and not Change the World, because we're not trying to change the world, but we will change the world if all of us will change our own worlds and our sphere of influence. And it begins with my house. It begins with my people, and it begins in my place. Last week, we looked at Paul and Silas. They're praying in the middle of a cell. They're unjustly accused and they're in prison. And they start praying and singing at midnight. How many of you remember the story from last Sunday? And they're praying and singing at midnight. Who sings in their worst day? I shared with our church in Delano that one of my worst days was when my wife and I lost our two youngest kids. She lost them. It wasn't my fault. And we were at the house and we're calling their name and they're not answering, and we start getting nervous, frantic. Have you ever lost your kids at Magic Mountain, Disneyland, or anywhere? Okay, I lost my kids at my house, all right? So you guys are all right. And my kids were not responding, and we're running around trying to find them, and it was gut-wrenching. I mean, oh my God, what if they're gone? And I remember just saying, God, I don't know where they are, but I know you know where they are. And I saw my wife stopping traffic, and she was like the best crossing guard you've ever seen. She was like stopping cars, and she would tell them, where are my kids? The people in the cars were like, who are your kids? And I saw her fall to the floor, and she was crying, and she was just screaming. And who sings in their worst moment? Who does that? And Paul and Silas were singing because it was part of their muscle memory. It was their response, because what you do in the daytime, that's what you're gonna do in the nighttime. What you do as a practice, that's what you're gonna do when the storm comes, the circumstances. You see how people run from God when things get bad? And then you see other people that run to God when things get bad. Because it's in your lifestyle. It's in what you practice. That's what you're going to do in the game time. That's why if you play sports, you practice that form. Because when you get in the game, that's what you're going to do. And you are what you practice. And so Paul and Silas are singing, and it's a miracle that the earthquake and the cells opened, the prison doors for them and for everybody. All the prison doors opened. And then the greater miracle happens is Paul doesn't go anywhere. Paul stays right where he is. He tells the jailer, don't do harm yourself. We're still here, because Paul, watch this. Paul wasn't praying so that they would get out. He was praying that the gospel will get in. And what he wanted was God in the, watch this, some of us have terrible work people at work, and you've been praying for God to give you another job. Let me tell you what God wants to do. God wants you to be the person that converts all the people at your place. Where you are, it's not about us going to somewhere where we feel like it's more comfortable. Or look at we work in a business where nobody's a Christian. I want to work for a Christian business. If you leave, who's gonna be the light to those people where you are? And so Paul was like, we're not going anywhere. We're staying right here, because our goal is not to get out. I'm a prisoner of Christ. I'm a servant of God. And if God put me where I'm at, then I'm going to bring the light and the gospel into where I'm at. So you and I are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And every dark place that we are at, that's where God's going to bless, because that's where you're at. I love that message last week. Today, I want to give you just like a practical way for all of us to be light, for all of us to be salt, because I know what you're going through. I feel it too. It's hard. It's embarrassing sometimes. It's like you feel unqualified. Like, how am I going to tell people about Jesus? I don't know enough verses. I don't know enough Bible. I don't know enough. I'm not living right, totally living right. There's still areas in my life where like are still like not right. So how am I going to tell people about who God is? And so I want to tell you today that the woman at the well, she didn't know anything about Jesus except, let me take you to a man that did something for me in my life. And so she goes to the town and she tells everybody, you got to go see this man. That's more than a man. He's the Messiah. He's the Christ. And so all of us can be evangelists. I want to talk to you about sharing Christ, or evangelism, practical ways for us to share Jesus with everyone in our world. Evangelism means the evangelio in Spanish is the good news. And when you are an evangelist or evangelism, it's sharing the good news of who Jesus is. So if you'll go with me to the book of John, there's a story here in the book of John, beginning in verse 29 in chapter 1. If I asked you this question, I think many of us might answer the question with what we have heard or what we know. Watch, here's the question. How did the disciples come to Jesus? How did the disciples come to Jesus? Well, you might say, doesn't the Bible say that they were fishing and Jesus went and said, hey, follow me? And then they left their nets and they followed him. How many of you read that part in the book of Luke, the book of Matthew? And I've always read that and thought, man, like, how could they have just followed him? Like, that's kind of extreme, isn't it? How are you going to follow him just like that? And so many of us maybe have thought that the disciples just heard Jesus talk one time and they followed him. But that's not the way it happened. It was actually very, very different the way the disciples heard about who Jesus was and followed him. And I want to tell you today that evangelism is not an event. Evangelism is a conversation. Yes. It's personal. Let me give you a statistic. 9 out of every 10 people that come to Jesus at an evangelical event, like at the park. Like, I grew up in church, so we used to have these evangelism events where we used to go to the park, pass out tracts. Somebody would get on a trailer and say, Jesus loves you. Evangelism, or people that go on the streets and they're sharing Jesus. That's all awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. 9 out of every 10 people that give their lives to Jesus in that way, a year later, are not in church and not serving God. Okay? That's a statistic. Now, let me give you another statistic. 8 out of every 10 Christians or people that give their lives to Jesus, because of a person, because of a relationship, a year later are still in church serving God. Because coming to Jesus is about discipleship. It's about conversations. It's about relationship. So whenever somebody wants to serve God, somebody, like when you take next steps, I want to encourage you to take next steps next Sunday. And a lot of people are, I'm ready to serve God, and they'll serve God. And the first question that you got to answer is, okay, who's my world? Who's my world? How am I going to share Jesus, or who am I going to disciple? Relationship. It's not just about bringing them to Sundays. It's about bringing them into your life, into your house, for dinner, for conversations, to work out, to go to the gym, to do whatever in your rhythm of life. Serving God is not about, let's go to church on Sunday. Serving God is about being the light of God everywhere we go, with the people that surround us. You don't have to change Bakersfield. You just have to influence your friend that's with you at work. Just your neighbor or your family member. It's all about personal relationships. And so I want to share with you how the disciples came to Jesus. You might be shocked to read this story. It's found in the book of John chapter 1. Here we go, verse 29. Here it is. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, now remember who John is. John is John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the prophet of God that came to announce and prepare the way for the Messiah, for Jesus. So the next day, John saw, looked at Jesus coming, and look at what he did. John the Baptist, look, he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The next day, again, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. The most easy and most practical way for all of us to share Jesus, to live out and be the light, is all we have to do is point people to Jesus. Amen. Watch this. The best time for you to talk and point about who Jesus is when someone is going through a trial, a tribulation, a storm. They'll call you and say, my husband is cheating. My life is falling apart. At work, somebody will confide in you, and you know all you have to do is point to Jesus, say, I know somebody who's the answer. I'm not the answer, but I know somebody who's the answer. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one that can give you peace when you're feeling anxious and worried. It's Jesus who will transform your family and your life and your marriage. And the simple thing is, watch this, is you just redirect somebody. Redirect somebody towards Jesus. Point to Jesus. When somebody is just pouring out their heart, when somebody is sharing with you, it's a friend, it's a cousin, it's somebody, and they're sharing with you. It's all you have to do is redirect them, point them to Jesus. Many times people will feel like it's my job to convert somebody. But do you know it's not your job? It's only your job to point to Jesus. You can't change nobody. You can't even change yourself. You tried, didn't you? I tried to change myself. I would fall in the same hole every week. And then I would come on Sunday and get saved again. Lord, save me, Lord. I can't change myself. That's what Paul said. Woe is me. Who will rescue me from this body of sin and death? Praise God that Jesus came and he rescued and he saved and he transforms. We point people to Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19, Paul is praying and he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be opened, that they would be enlightened in order that they may know, or that you may know the hope which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for all those who will believe. Paul is praying that God would open the eyes of their heart, because I can't have nobody open their eyes to who God is. It is God the one that does the miracle. I'm the one that is the signpost. I'm the one that points to Jesus. And I say, God is the one that can change and that can transform. So the story goes in John chapter 1 that there were two disciples that were following John the Baptist. One of them, in verse 40, was Andrew, that who became a disciple of Jesus. It says he started following Jesus. Andrew, look at who Andrew's brother is. Simon Peter. Peter, the great leader, the great disciple, the one that Jesus said, you are Cephas, you are the rock. On this I will build my church. And Peter wasn't the one who came to Jesus first. It was his brother, Andrew, that came. He was following John the Baptist. John the Baptist points to Jesus, and Andrew starts following Jesus. And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, it says in verse 40, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did Can you say that with me? The first thing Andrew did was he went to find his brother, Peter, and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And what did he do? And he brought him to Jesus. Second thing that we can do just very practically is we can bring people to Jesus. I want to tell you a story. My dad in 1967, my dad was not a Christian. He was lost. He was testifying. He was giving his testimony last Saturday at a service that we had. I want to share with you this story because this is for somebody here today. So my dad was lost, and there was a gentleman that came to him and said, "Hey, I want you to come to church with me. We're having a service today." And my dad said, "I'll never go to church with you. Get out of here." So he left. The next day, that man came back. "Is Polo here?" My grandma opens the door, and my dad says, "What are you doing here? I already told you I don't want to go with you." And the guy said, no, "We're having a beautiful service tonight. I want you to come." He said, "Nope, not going." 7 days later, after every single day that this man was coming, my dad finally says that he was getting angry. And he finally said, "Look," he started calling him names, "you this and you're that, stay away from me. I want nothing to do with you." The man was undeterred. You ready for this? 29 days later, every single day, the man was looking for my dad. My dad said that McFarland is a small town. The man didn't have a car. My dad had a car in 1967. He had a 65 Chevy. We still have that car in my dad's shop. It's my sister's car. He gave it to her because she's the only sister. All right, I have six brothers. And I'm, you know, it's all right. So my dad said he would take his car. If you know McFarland, there's only like five streets on this side and five streets on this side of the freeway. In those days, there was probably three or four or five streets. And the cows were already there, by the way. Just follow your nails, you'll find McFarland. So my dad would go to the opposite side of town, park his car, and go to the other side of town to throw him off, because the man was following him every day trying to find him to bring him to church, because because we're going to have a beautiful service and God wants you. God's calling you. So my dad would try to throw him off. Watch this. On the 29th day, the man said to my dad, because nothing was working, and he said, "You know, you're not a man if you don't come to church." My dad said, "Wait a minute. Don't question my manhood." You know, he wasn't saved. And he says, I'm gonna go to church with you tomorrow on the 30th day. Under one condition: never invite me again." And the man said, "Deal." On the 30th day, right on time, the guy's knocking on his door. So my dad goes to church. There was one guy on the guitar. There was a couple of people there. The pastor preached, and my dad said he was undeterred. Terrible message. Maybe not terrible, but he doesn't remember. I was just gonna go through the motion. That way this guy would not question my manhood and I'll never have to come back. So they go up to the altar at the end. Watch this, because my dad said the guy was standing next to him, his name was Guadalupe Gutierrez. My dad says that Guadalupe Gutierrez is my hero. So there they are. It's time for an altar call. And the man says, "Let's go up." My dad said, "I'm not going up." "Nope." So the man grabbed him by the arm and started pulling him up. My dad's like, gets to the front, and the man starts praying. And all he said was, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God." And he started crying. My dad looked at him and said, "I wonder why he's crying." And then the Holy Spirit begins to move in my dad's heart. And he gives his life to the Lord. On that night, that day, it was a 30-day revival service that they were having there in McFarland, because they had a little church in-house. And the way the story is, there was the pastor there, Senaido Garza, who's still there. He was passing through the town because he was on his way to Washington. He was not going to stay in McFarland. But one of the old ladies there, she said, "You're staying here. I want you to do a 30-day service." He said, "We don't have a church." So she sent him to go look for a little building that they can meet at. He goes to the little Ranchito Market, if you know Ranchito Market in McFarland. A white man comes out and says, "Well, that's my building. I'm the pastor, but we're closing it down. Here are the keys." Gave him the keys. Watch this. Everything God's doing in the background. Watch this. So they have the service there. For 30 days, all 30 days, the man's looking for my dad. Months later, the man tells my dad, when my dad asked him, why did you seek me all those days? And he said, "Because God told me he wanted to save Polito." I believe all those days of the revival, all of it was all to save my dad. Meanwhile, me and my brothers all serve the Lord. My children, me and my house will serve the Lord. My kids' kids, watch this, will serve the Lord because of Guadalupe Gutierrez, that went to find my dad every day, walking the streets of Maifa Town without a car to go and find a man because he was going to change just his world. You'll never know the impact that you will have when you just bring somebody to Jesus. Amen. They don't even know that they don't want to come. They'll tell you they don't want to come. I love the verses in John 6:44. It says this: "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them." In other words, nobody's going to come to Jesus unless the Father already is calling their name. You don't do any work. It's not us that makes the difference. It's God that already is looking and calling their name. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 that if anyone rejects you, watch this, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Christ. You don't take it personal. What's the worst that you can lose when you ask someone to come to Jesus? They'll say no. And then the Bible says in Matthew 10, before Taylor Swift, all the Swifties, before she wrote Shake It Off, Jesus says, Shake It Off. You guys are all going to go to confession tonight with me because you guys are all Taylor Swift fans. And Jesus says, don't take it personal. You share Jesus. You bring people to God. You bring people to Lifehouse. There's not a lot of space, but we have a little bit more space for more people, but we're going to have another service if we have to. Because we want everybody to bring people to Jesus and let God do the work in their lives. So watch this. So Andrew, he finds his brother, Peter, and he brings him to God. And it says in John 1:42, "And when he brought him to Jesus, Jesus looked at him and he said, 'I know who you are. You're Simon, son of John. But you will be called Cephas,' which when translated is Peter." It's so powerful because when I came to God and when you came to God, you came and you're like, "I know who you are. You're Gabe, the big old fat liar. I know who you are. You're John, the drunkard. You're the adulterer. You're the one that can't get over addictions. You're the backstabber. You're the traitor. You're the one that cheated. I know who you are. That's your name." When God wrestles with Jacob, he says, "What's your name?" "My name's Jacob," which means trickster, which means the one that And God says, that's your name. That's who you are. But I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to give you a new identity. As you follow Jesus, he begins to transform your life. At Lifehouse, we don't believe that you come to God when everything's right. No. Come to God as you are. Follow Jesus, and he will never leave you the same. Many people are like, but Jesus loves me. I know he loves me enough not to leave me the way I am. And he begins to change me from the inside out. Too many people go to church religiously to try to want to behave like the pastor does. They want to try to imitate other people. That's religion. It doesn't work. That's behavior modification. You could try to change your behavior. It doesn't matter. You need a heart transplant. And Jesus says, come and follow me. Come, all who are weary. And I'll give you true rest. Because God knows how to change even your cravings, even your desires, even your perspective. He opens your eyes to see the truth about what this world is. And so you just come, you follow Jesus. You bring people to God and you let God do the transplant of the heart. Yeah. And he says to Peter, I'm going to give you a new name. Because you have a gift that I'm gonna use to build this church, and all of us have that gift. Everybody here, you have a special gift that God wants to use to transform your world, your house, your family, your place. Praise God that he is the one that makes the change in our lives and nobody else. I love this, watch this. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And he found Philip. And he said to him, follow me. And Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael. That's like Guadalupe found Polo. 30 times, by the way, 30 times. Sometimes it might take 30 minutes. Sometimes it might take 30 days. And sometimes it might take 30 years. How many of you know that's true? I know that's true. It's because God is always at work. God is always at work, and some of us have a stubborn heart. Our eyes don't want to be open, and you know people, and I know people that have already told you don't talk to me about it anymore. I want to encourage you, never stop pointing people to Jesus. Never stop bringing people to Jesus, because you don't know that today might be the day that they say, Lord, I need you. Save me. I'm drowning. I need you, God. And so Philip, like Andrew, he was from that town, and Philip found Nathanael, and he told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law. And about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Here's the last one that I want to share with you. There's two more, but I'm running out of time. He said, we have found the one. He was a witness to people about Jesus. Let me tell you about what a witness is, okay? I need everybody to listen to me. When we talked about salt and light, Just remember that salt can only have an influence when it's different than the thing that it's being applied to. All of us, we are the witnesses of what God can do in a life. Yes. Yes. Being a witness for God means being a testimony for God. It means that I am salt and I'm different than the dirt. I used to be dirt, but God has transformed my life. God has made me anew. I am now, behold, I am brand new in Christ. You are not your past. You are not what you were. You are a brand new creation in Jesus. And a new creation is has an effect. Salt has an effect on the thing that it's applied to. And so we are witnesses of God, because everywhere I go, I used to be that, but now I'm not anymore. Now look at what God is doing in my life. And so he finds he finds, Nathaniel is found by Philip. Many of us don't know how to share Christ. And I'm going to give you three simple questions that you can ask somebody. These are three questions that Guadalupe Gutierrez asked my dad in 1967. What is that? 50 some odd years ago. These are the same questions that still apply today. Here it is. You say, I don't know how to tell people about Jesus. Look at how simple it is. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know why Jesus came? And do you know what Jesus has done? Watch. A lot of people think that Jesus is a man or a prophet. Let me tell you, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God, but he's also God the Son. Jesus is fully man, but he's fully God. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Christ. He is the Savior that came to die for our sins. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. You got to get this first question right. If you don't know who Jesus is, then you're going to run in circles around in a desert for 40 years. It's about who is Jesus. And when you are able to have your eyes open to who Jesus is, then the next question is, then why did Jesus come? People say, I don't know why Jesus came, because they think that they're good people. You ask people, are you a good person? Oh yeah, I'm a good person. How do you get to heaven? You just have to be good. And that's a misunderstanding. That's the American gospel. That's a false religion. The true gospel is that there is no one righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The gospel is that I am a sinner and Jesus loved me so much that there was a relationship that was broken with Adam and Eve when they fell. And so Jesus comes to restore our relationship with God. Why did Jesus come? He came for me. That's why he came. He came because I was in need of a Savior. He came because I'm not able to save myself. He came because of love. He demonstrated his love in this in Romans 5:8. That while I was yet a sinner, he came and he died for me. And then what did he do? He took away all my sins. He made me brand new. He gave me hope. He changed me on the inside. He gave me his peace. He gives me joy in no matter what circumstance I'm in. And he has taught me that I have a Father in heaven that lives with me, that loves me. And no matter what I go through, God is with me because he promises he will never leave me and never forsake me. And if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of all my sins. What did Jesus do for me? He did everything for me. And in our conversations with people, just real simple, do you know who Jesus is? Do you know why he came? Do you know what he did? When you could have somebody answer these questions, they're going to say, I want to give my life to him. It's so simple. The gospel of Jesus, so simple. We make it so complicated, but it's really simple. It's the simple gospel. It's the good news that I can't earn it and I can't work for it, but Jesus already paid the price for me. Amen. So evangelism is not an event. Evangelism is a conversation. I want to encourage you, mom and dad, ask your kids these questions. Ask them, do you know why Jesus came? Ask them today. With your workplace and wherever you're at, just point people, redirect people back to Jesus. I'm going to finish with this. The last verse here that I want to read in John chapter 1. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And here's the question that Nathanael asked Jesus, and that's the question that I asked God too. And I think a lot of you maybe have asked this question. How do you know me? Who am I? Why me? Why me, God? Why have you called me? Why do I feel this calling in my life? Watch, like this world, there's something missing. Like this world doesn't satisfy me. And how do you know me, God? And Jesus said, before Guadalupe Gutierrez brought you Polo Diaz, and I saw you. Before you were here, God saw you. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, before the foundations of the world, I called you. You're not here by no accident. God has a plan for your life. If you have a, listen to me, if you have a desire for God, listen to me, that is evidence that there's two natures inside of you. You might say, yeah, but I sin. I'm not ready. My lifestyle, I'm still messing up. I know that you're not made into the perfection of Christ. Nobody is. But yet the reason why you feel conviction is because that's evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. That's evidence. Watch, if you feel a desire like God's calling me, like I want to know God more. That's because God knew you. Before anybody brought you to Lifehouse, God was looking for you. That's why the Bible says that he left the 99 to go after me. I am that one. And look, and maybe I don't have this great story like my dad has this great story about how God found him. But I'm the result of that man looking for my dad because God had a calling for my life before I was born. The Bible says, in your mother's womb, I knew who you were. Before God said, let there be light, God already knew your name because he was going to call you to this place. You are not here by accident. God has you here. You need to get involved. You need to get your passion. You need to get on the next steps. You need to get it. You need to get into that place of where you say, God, here's my life. And Jesus said, while you were still under the fig tree and before Philip called you, I saw you. And then Nathanael said, Rabbi, Jesus, here it is. His eyes were opened. You are the Son of God, the King of Israel. You know what happens when your eyes are open to who Jesus is? You have no other choice but to say, if he is who he says he is, then I better obey him. I better follow him. I'm going to let him lead me. Because truly he is the Son of God. He's God in the flesh that came down because of me. You got to personalize it and you got to recognize that Jesus loves you so much. He's patient. He's patient with us. Praise God. Today's your day. Whoever's visiting today and you're like, I'm going to go to church. Somebody invited me. You're like my dad. You're like, I don't want to go, but I'm going to go just to shut him up. You picked the wrong Sunday because God's going to take your life today. God's going to save you. You're going to give God your heart. You're going to give God your mind. You're not perfect. You're still sinful. But as you follow him, he transforms us into the image of Jesus. He makes us white as snow. He declares that you are righteous in his sight. You're like, I'm not righteous. Jesus said you are. When you give your life to him, just like right there where you are, sit it down. Everybody close your eyes. Close your eyes. I'm going to ask every head bowed and every eye closed. You say, you know, I just know that God's calling me to open my eyes to who he is, and I want to give God my life today. I want him to be not just my Savior. I want him to be the Lord of my life. I want to follow Jesus. I want to live for him. I want to be what he says I am. I want to let go of the things of this world, and I want to put my eyes on Him. I'm going to ask you, with every eye closed, I'm going to ask, if that's you, to just raise your hand right there where you are. Amen. See that hand back there? See these hands? See those hands? Because God sees them too. He saw you way before you came today. And He said, today's the day. We're not going to play with God. We're not going to mess around. We're going to say, Lord, here I am. Do in my life what you want to do, God. With every eye closed, if you raise your hand, you don't have to say the words I'm going to say. You can if you want to. And in your own words, it's just so simple as this. You just say this, watch. Jesus, save me. Take away all my guilt and my shame. The blood that you shed on the cross, let it wash me of all my sins. Today, I receive you in my life. I commit to you, Lord. Guide me today and tomorrow and the rest of my days. Show me who you are and lead me. Guide me into green pastures. Be my light. Be my guide. Be with me everywhere I go, as you have promised. And I commit to you to give you my life, my gifts, my talents, my time, my thoughts, my family, me and my house, me and my house. We shall serve the Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive you today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you. Now let me pray for the whole church, Lord. For every man, woman, and child, especially our dads, especially every father in this place. I pray, oh Holy Spirit of God, that you would give every father in this place, that you would open our eyes. God, as Paul prayed, open our eyes, Lord. Let us see the danger that is approaching our children, our wives. Let us lead, Lord God, our homes with the spiritual, God, authority that you've given. Every single mom in this place, I pray you would open our eyes. Every woman, I pray, God, you would open our eyes. Let us see you, Lord. Let us follow you. And give us, oh God, the spiritual awareness, Lord. Wake us up. Give us urgency, God. Let us walk this world, not for what is in this world, God, but for the greater things that you have in our lives. For your purposes, oh God, I pray. Let us wake up, Lord. Let us be urgent. Let us see you sitting on the throne of God, and let us decide today. Let us follow you, God, with all our hearts. And let us say, as for me and my house, as for me and in my world, God, let me testify, let me witness, let me point to you, and let me bring others to your feet, God. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for your people in this place. Bless us, Lord, with your presence as we leave. Bless us, God, with your joy as we leave. The good news of the gospel is that we belong to you, oh God. Let us walk in confidence, God. Let us be confidently walking, Lord, everywhere we go, pointing to you, Jesus. And Lord God, would you receive all the glory? Would you receive all the praise? Would you receive all the worship? Would you receive all our lives, Lord? Would you just take it, God, and receive the praise and the glory, because you are worthy, worthy, worthy are you, oh God, in our lives. I thank you for today. Bless your people, Lord, as this service comes to an end. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so very much for joining us today on the Lifehouse Podcast. I pray and hope this message has encouraged, inspired, and challenged you to grow closer to God. If you would like to be a part of what God is doing here at Lifehouse, visit our website at lifehousechurch.com. That's lifehousechurch.com for more information, or consider subscribing and share it with one of your friends and family. Thank you again for being part of our journey, your journey, that will lead you to know God better, grow together, and go serve and make a difference. Thank you again. God bless you. See you next time.